Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people. And Jessica is here in the studio in beautiful 3CR, and Carl's here in the background keeping me company. And I'm pretty happy to be in the city on a nice summer's day. It's sort of, I notice that there's not many people around compared to how crowded the city is. I live in Wonthaggi on Bunurong country, so I sort of come into the city to do Breadline. And it was quite nice and cruisy, and I met a friend on the bus, and then I met a friend on the tram, and then I just met Carl down the road. So I've had a nice sociable trip into the city. So today I've got some great music from the Wurrumpi Band, a song we have played before. I'll be playing that later. It's called Breadline, so we're particularly fond of that. And I'm going to be talking a bit about, sort of as it is the summer programming part of 3CR's year, talking a bit about what's been happening to people on Centrelink over the summer, the same sort of hassles but some new ones, some people wanting to have a break, and also the fact that I'm going to be following on a bit of what Antimony and Caitlin were talking about last Monday on Breadline. Just about sort of surviving and, you know, surviving on, as we know, not very much money and just sort of living fortnight to fortnight, really. So, stay with me and keep on listening to beautiful 3CR. Just a reminder that this show is part of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and we're a national organisation, people scattered all around this bit of land, this bit of stolen land that we're all living on. And we do have an advocacy team, which has just really got going over the last, say, 4 months. And we normally have a phone number that you can ring, but the volunteers on the line are just having a break right now until the 12th. But if you do have any immediate hassles that you'd like to talk to another human being about, not a bureaucrat, not anyone paid to fob you off, you can email advocacy@auwu.org.au. And if you don't happen to, you know, get that info down, just Google AUWU. And so the big thing, of course, at the moment is that there has been a pause for some people receiving benefits, and they are the people who are under the Disability Employment Services, and those people are have had their mutual obligation demands paused. But unfortunately today they're back on, and so people have to sign up with a new job service provider, which unless they decide themselves, apparently the job service providers decide it for you. So if there is anyone listening or who are friends who are under that system, it's the reason is that they're changing from the Disability Employment Services to the new name, Inclusive Employment Australia. And so that for that reason, rebranding, they're disturbing everyone's lives. And for a couple of weeks, they took the pressure off with mutual obligations, which is, I suppose, a good thing. But, so just getting back to last Breadline, so Antimony and Caitlin were talking about, the sort of surviving, fortnight to fortnightly payment. And it reminded me, really, of sort of my childhood, because in the 60s, my mum was living on what they called the widow's pension, which was really the single parent's pension. But because in the 60s they regarded as such an embarrassing thing that you may be a single parent, they called it the widow's pension to sort of take the stigma off it in theory. And so we lived on that same setup, the fortnight to fortnight. And I definitely know what Caitlin and Antimony were talking about. And I suppose looking back, there was that, phew, the payments, the money's in, the check, I seem to remember, had arrived, and so we had money. But I think the big thing for us that was that for most of my childhood, we lived out in the bush, really. And so we were away from shops. We were away from all those glittering enticements, which kids, of course, get very carried away by. But, of course, all of us are not immune to consumerism. So even though we didn't really have much cash, we weren't near a lot of places to spend the cash. And we lived on three different small islands in Moreton Bay. Again, stolen land once again. But we were able to live quite a good existence on those islands because it was in Queensland. It was sort of warm most of the time. And there were always the sort of scavenging possibilities. And in fact, there was an overgrown fruit farm, which we heard from the other people on the island that no one cared if you went and helped yourself. So we were able to pick mangoes and avocados, which is sort of a real luxury, luxury food for us and down here. But at the time, it was there, it was dropping off the trees. And so there was also fish because we're on islands, but we never did fishing for some reason. I think my mum was always very worried about safety side of things, and she probably thought we'd end up with a fish hook in our eye or something. I would have liked to do fishing, but we did. In fact, I think I caught one fish, and that was a big cause of excitement. But we also used to look for yuggeries, and that's actually the proper First Nations name for them. So they're a little shellfish, which is only probably the size of your thumb. But if you get enough of them, that you can make a pretty good soup out of them. So our mum used to also be very good at cooking. I know the tradition is damper. I don't ever remember us having that, but we did try once cooking with sort of dough around a stick, but we put too much sugar in it, so it burnt. But what our mum was very good at making, because, yeah, no shops, therefore no bread or anything like that. And we didn't also have a fridge. Sometimes we had a fridge, but mostly it didn't work. So we couldn't have butter and things like that. But what we did have were these things called puftaloons, which were sort of a fried scone. So you could make that. So, yeah, I suppose that just started me thinking about sort of how you survive. And again, I was a kid, so I wasn't really that aware of, you know, what our mum must have been worrying about, as in, you know, would the food and so on stretch. But I fully understand that part of that was we were living on, you know, stolen land, but we were living where there was some kind of welfare system. And so we were able to get by. And then later when we went travelling, we'd also get ourselves into all kinds of awkward situations with the pension check arriving because our vehicles would quite often break down. But then we just basically wait. Once we had to camp in the parking area of the mechanic because basically we were just waiting for the check to come through. And then we'd be able to pay for the vehicle to be fixed. So, yeah, just a few reflections there about, yeah, when you really are, you're just getting by on that. Luckily, yeah, so I'll just remind you of a few other 3CR items now.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Yeah, and you're back on 3CR and you're listening to Breadline. And yeah, I've been catching a bit of 3CR's summer programming. Pretty interesting. Today I had it on in the car and I was thinking, oh God, they're actually talking about a real situation. This must be 3CR. It can't be the other radio stations. People talking with passion, you know, talking about real stuff. Anyway, Spreadline's the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And so I had over the summer, of course, the hassles continue, unfortunately, for people who are on a whole range of payments. I was mentioning about the mutual obligations pausing, but a few comments that are on a Facebook page that I follow, which is called The Centrelink System is Broken. What that is people put just various things of what's happening to them, and then other people give advice, which, of course, you have to always take with a pinch of salt, because the same with us. On the advocacy line of the union, we have to make sure that we're making it clear we're not giving legal advice, and, you know, always good to double check if you're not really sure about what you're hearing. So this is a good comment. What is the job provider network's absolute obsession with job seekers doing volunteer work at an opportunity shop while trying to look for paid work at the same time? And, of course, that's come up in my area as well, because it's very hard. They push all the time because the comment on the Facebook page was their KPIs depend on it. Yeah, well, they're pushing you all the time to have outcomes which they can then get their payments from the government for, which is, again, the whole problem about us having a system like with mutual obligations, which relies on privatised companies profiting from the harassment, which we know only too well, which we talk about a lot on the Breadline. Here's another a quick question. I'm currently on JobSeeker with mutual obligation of working 30 hours per fortnight. I've been working 36, often over 40 hours per fortnight. I'm a casual worker, so I get no leave entitlements. I've been working without a break since November 24. My question is, am I able to take a 1 week break without losing my payment or having to get a medical certificate? I'm 65 and my body is struggling. I don't qualify for the DSP. Thanks. So that's the question they asked to the page. And someone put an answer which was probably what that person would have to do, which is, if you're unwell, you need to get a medical certificate and you'll be covered. Because a lot of these voluntary, a lot of jobs and a lot of voluntary orgs don't necessarily give you time off when you're on casual. Anyway, so the advice there is to get a medical certificate. But yeah, when you're under that sort of mutual obligation pressure, it doesn't necessarily let up just because it happens to be the holiday season. So yeah, another question here about, someone's just commenting, I do feel sorry for anyone living in a remote area and not being serviced by a person-to-person Centrelink office. Contacting them by phone on three occasions and having to wait 1.5 hours, 1 hour, and then 50 minutes respectively for totally unsatisfactory results was not good, totally ruining the following day and day and a half with unwarranted nervous hypertension caused by inexperience and at times an unpleasant attitude by the people on the phone. The only way we could achieve a great result was by attending the Geelong area office. In return, all problems solved with one visit by a caring and pleasant employee. I'm not sure how the government can be satisfied with the phone service. So, yeah, that was discussed a bit on that post. And what people were recommending is 8 a.m. calls. They said if you can get in that early, it means that you've actually got a chance to get things moving for yourself. But the other thing which I'm looking into at the moment, and I have mentioned it before on Breadline, is that you can actually look up your job service provider and find out how much they've been donating to the political parties, which unfortunately show no sign of changing the system, despite all the multiple reports that have been done into how unfair it is. And there's a website called Donation Watch. And you can just look that up in a spare moment and have a look. Put in, if you can find the name of your job service provider, you can see why and see how much money they've been handing back to the people in power. So, yeah, I like following the money. And in that case, it's fairly easy thanks to that website. You're listening to Breadline, the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR. And another thing that we're going to be campaigning on this year is the partner income test. So This is an example of how it's driving someone mad who was on that Facebook page I mentioned, which is called The Centrelink System is Broken. So LMAO, I'm about to lose my crap. Someone calm me down. Just moved into my boyfriend's house. I have two children full time, not his kids. I was living separately with my best friend, paying 50-50 rent, which was $200 a week. I was getting single parenting family tax A and B, and I had a small part-time job. So I made do in life and I had the pension card. Moved in with him and I've lost absolutely everything. Because he makes $100K before tax. I've no money to my name except the $400 to $500 a week rent. So, yeah, they talk a bit more about it. And, of course, they finish by saying, I'm screwed. How come when you move in with a partner you lose absolutely everything? Might as well stay single and live separately. And someone's responded, because of outdated misogynistic beliefs that when you partner up, the higher earning partner is financially responsible for the lower earner and all children, whether biologically theirs or not. This enables abusive people to trap their victims in a cycle of financial abuse. The number one change our government could easily make to reduce domestic violence is to end this dangerous policy. Yes, well, that is something which quite a few people in the union are stirred up about right now, and there's a new campaign building about that. And funnily enough, on the bus coming in a few weeks ago, I talked to someone who was a friend of my daughter's actually, and he said that he assumed that he could get some kind of payment because he was studying, but when he contacted them, they said, well, sorry, your partner earns too much and you're not going to be getting anything. So he found that out right at the end of, right when he'd run out of all his money. So, yeah, a lot of pressure it puts on people. And also because of the housing situation, a lot more people are looking at ways that they can share accommodation to cut down on costs. So, yeah, anyway, you'll be hearing more about that campaign on Breadline in the future because, yeah, it's a bit of a, we're going to be building that one up. So it's almost the end of the show. And you've been listening, as you know, to Breadline and with the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And if you have any concerns about payments or hassle you may be getting, contact advocacy at auwu.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.